Welcome to the D&D 360 podcast. Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the D&D 360 podcast. And for my returning guest, welcome back. D&D 360 is where we talk all about Dungeons & Dragons and its many editions from the past, present, and future, including third-party content and as well as other role-playing games. I'm your host, Terrell Shaw, and I'll be your guide through your journey this session. Welcome back, everyone. This week, I want to talk about, my version of campaigns that I run. Primarily, my main campaign is run in what I call my Forgotten Realms. Meaning, I run typically the Forgotten Realms campaign setting that I mentioned in a previous podcast that exists in sort of a tweaked version of what the official campaign setting displays. And what I mean by that is, I would say 95 to 98% of the events that's laid out in the third edition and fourth and maybe even 5e edition of the Forgotten Realms exist in my campaign. However, where there might have been certain events that transpired, either it hasn't happened, or let's say its logical conclusion did happen, and I resolved it to be a certain end, or they're still working through that, and time doesn't necessarily take place in the same time zone as, not time zone, the same time frame as what's in the 5e Sword Coast guide. It's basically, I started off my campaign in the year of 1492 DR. DR means Dale Reckoning. It is just, think of it just basically saying like BC or AD, things like that. Dale Reckoning is a certain time frame in the Forgotten Realms where they, well, just start naming the years. So in my version, in my particular campaign that I'm running here, which is the main one, is called Whispers in the Dark. Now, I might have some listeners that's in this listening to the podcast that's in that game. I'm not providing any spoilers, so it's basically okay. You can continue listening. But in Whispers of the Dark campaign, the premise of the campaign is of such. There is a darkness, a oncoming storm approaching. It started off with a certain people getting sick in villages, towns, all across Faerûn. Faerûn is the continent that is the main continent in the Forgotten Realms campaign setting, which my campaign is set in. And the heroes, if you will, start investigating little tadbits of interesting encounters of the sickness, investigating it out of the city of Phandelver. And yes, it is the same Phandelver that's in the box set. My campaign that I'm running is from or is a continuation of sorts of the starter set, the Phandelver, Lost Mines of Phandelver starter set adventure. Most, if not all, of my players, characters, were in that adventure. And then when we completed it and was spinning up a homebrew campaign, Some of the player characters moved on, continued on, or some of the players spun up new characters for this new campaign. So we started there in that small little town or village, and then exploring around the area. And then from there, they started getting more tips or more rumors and hooks to explore outside of the area, which led them to find a crippled ship in from Halrua. Halrua is a city of descendants of the Netherese sort of nationality of humans from a long time ago, who are very powerful, used to be very powerful archwizards, or sorcerers and magic users. What makes that interesting is that Halrua is one of the rare places of where humans have flying ships. Now remember, this is a fantasy setting, so having flying ships or vehicles or whatnot is one, magically is highly advanced, not very common whatsoever. So when my characters came upon this sort of disabled flying ship, there was a adventure to try to find the lost sort of rod that is the controlling rod of this vehicle. And in doing so, they went through that, recovered it, and was given as a reward to travel where they wanted to go. And I believe at this time they needed to go very far away to what they call the Sea of Falling Stars, which was quite some distance from Vandelver. They came aboard and took the trip on the flying ship. And in doing so, the flying ship was on a sort of discovery, treasure hunting, information gathering sort of task from one of their, what they call patrons, who basically chartered the ship to get some things. So they sort of, carried on and providing them some little help and backup. Since the adventurers were very well dressed in combat, they would provide some sort of security. So they ended up going to different places around Faerun, one of which was Askor. Again, Askor is an ancient dwarven city in the sort of northeastern port or northeastern portion of the area, and unwittingly possibly unleashed some scary creatures while doing some dungeon delving. And they found a scroll, another Netherese scroll, which again, Halrua, people from Halrua are descendants of the Netherese, started getting clues to something dark and ancient that was supposedly coming back. But at this time, they didn't have any idea on what that meant and what that was. You see, my campaign, what I call is a slow burn. Over time, things, hints, and clues are leaked out, and during which the players have go into adventures of whatever sorts, building their skills, getting treasure, pretty much sort of building their characters. Time goes on, and they eventually get close to where they wanted to go, and which was Westgate, which was on the edge of the Sea of Falling Stars. They departed the ship, made their farewells, and left. And that entered in a whole entirely different sort of adventure. They were in this city of Westgate, which lore-wise is, well, it is run by basically coin rules all. You can buy and find anything if you have enough coin. I would suggest anybody who's interested, look up Westgate, look up Askor, and different places, just for your sort of enjoyment, to sort of give a idea on not only the distance, but sort of the possible and adventure involvement that my characters or my players were being involved in. So when they got there, they were doing some exploration of the city, getting to know it, finding lodging and whatnot, and a lot of different other adventures start to come about while they were there. Some were political, some were fighting, you know, local riffraff, thieves, robbers, cultists, demons and devils, you know, but otherwise, more of like, again, slowly uncovering clues as to one, why were they there? What was happening? Why were they were there and, whatnot. So that, is sort of a snippet of their campaign. That was Act One, and that, I believe, by the time they wrapped that area up, was the end of Act One, actually, to be perfectly honest, if I remember correctly. When they finally left Westgate, was the end of Act One. We picked up in Act Two, where out of the, I think, five original members, two had survived the final fight between the big boss that they fought at the end of Act One, went traveling to lick their wounds and to find other resources and information on what to do next and where to go. They end up finding two more, or three more actually, characters in their travels, and in doing so found a place where the next step was, which was near the Serpent Hills. And again, I'm name dropping with most people not knowing these areas, but Serpent Hills is inhabited by what they call serpent people. They are, in fact, Yuan Ti and Naga. These are creatures that have evolved as a sort of a humanoid. Some of them are humanoid, but mostly they are snake people or snake race. They live in these hills for whatever reasons, doing whatever they're due. However, they are what they call sort of like part of an ancient race that have been on the continent of Faerun for quite some time. In fact, longer than humans. They need to go here to find what they found was a piece of a ritual or a piece of some sort of lore that they had come across that will tell what it is that is coming, this oncoming storm, this darkness. They were there to discover and uncover more information about it. They went to fight some of these snake people. They started to go inside their area that was underground, mostly in caves. Serpent Hills is sort of not necessarily a desert, but it's more of a rocky landscape that think of near some swamps. And it's a large plate, mostly underground, so it's very sort of cool. The climate is very conducive to amphibians, snake people. Once they got there, they started to uncover that there was also an ancient sect called, I believe it was the Order of Twilight, that had some information that was guarding this ritual or this sort of knowledge that they were looking for. They end up making a deal with one of the leaders of the snake people for more information about this sort of oncoming storm or ritual, or I think by the time now it was called the Codices of Fate. At that time, they made a deal to recover some sort of artifact on behalf of this snake person, and in doing so, had to go to an ancient site, an ancient place of where the snake people had lost or had reason to believe that their artifact that they were looking for was being kept or hidden. Going there, they fought some creatures, some other snake creatures that were in the area, and eventually fought some sort of shadowy like creature, demon or something that sort of housed the artifact. Upon defeating this creature, my players inadvertently went through some sort of shadowy gate that transported them to the Shadow Fell. And this was the end of Act 2. The end of Act 2, once they got there, they were separated. So, at the beginning, I should say, of Act 3, some of the party members were separated. Once they got to the other side, into the Shadowfell. Now, the Shadowfell is a different realm of existence. It is a realm of night or twilight, of sort of negative energy, in a sense. This is where you find sort of a doom and gloom sort of creatures, the feeling, the weight, and hopelessness is there. Shadowfell is supposed to be a dark mirror of the material plane. The material plane is being what everybody, the normal everyday people, roam around in. So in the Shadowfell, they were exploring, trying to get their bearings, trying to find one or two of the lost comrades that had come through the gate with them before they tried to attempt to go back to the material plane. Now, what I had done previously was to equip, or at least have my players, at least one of my players, having the ability to get back, which he had an amulet of the planes. and it is one of the treasures. We'll say it's legendary, but it's a very rare amulet that allows you to traverse the different planes of existence. Planes of existence, existences sort of include not only the Shadowfell, but the Plane of Faerie, or what they call the Feywild.
Some other plane of existences include Bytopia, Mount Celestia, Arborea, and Mechanus. Now, those are in the upper planes, or the positive sort of outer planes. Now, in the lower planes, there are planes of existences called such as Acheron, the Nine Hells, Hades, the Abyss, Pandemonium, and Limbo. All of these different sort of realms, if you will, can be traversed or basically gotten to using some sort of magical equipment, such as the amulet of the planes. Now, what they were doing to attempt to find their comrades, they ran into a bunch of different sort of adventures while they were out there. They've lost a couple of characters, or I would just say PCs, while they were out there in the Shadowfell. And eventually they found a clue to one of their missing actual objectives, which was a clue to obtain one of the Codices of Fate. It turned out that one of the Codices of Fate was linked to a demiplane, a separate pocket dimension, if you will, where this thing was guarded by the Order of Twilight. Unfortunately for them, during their time in the Shadowfell and piecing together that clue, there was a undead lich called Zingy, the Witch King, who was very close of obtaining a special key to the archway that would unlock the demiplane's entryway into that place. And they were going to attempt to obtain the Codices of Fate before the players. Now, why were they going to do this? Well, just so happened that this lich was in cahoots with not only the rival group that was trying to bring about this darkness, this unseen and oncoming storm, but it was also, he was linked to Orcus himself. Orcus, the Prince of Undeath. So it was a major pivotal battle that they had during that time, and what led to them taking down the lich, obtaining the key to get access to this pocket dimension or demiplane of where this Codices of Fate was being kept, and they succeeded in obtaining it. And thusly was able to come back to the material plane and continue their journey and their quest to find the other two keys, or the other two ritual parts. There are three ritual parts that make up the whole. And currently, right now, they are in the material plane. During the course, they have obtained lordship, fighting some demons and another member of this abolithic sovereignty group, and so they now own a manor, and currently they are now continuing the quest to find the other two. I believe they heard that one of the three have been taken by the other group already, so now the race is on for the third and final piece to keep this oncoming storm from making it, bringing it back into the material plane, and possibly destroying all of mankind, and or enslaving all of mankind. So that is where my campaign is right now. That is my main campaign, and it is been going on for 3.5 years now, close to 4 years now. Every Saturday that we get together and play D&D, it is definitely a commitment. Not all campaigns are this long. Some are, you can have a campaign that's roughly, you know, 6 sessions long. There are also some campaigns that are several weeks long, several months long, and definitely several years long. I think we are lucky that we've all sort of have this social contract to not only try to show up every Saturday night to play Dungeons and Dragons and to delve into a fantasy world and adventure through it all together, and to have that commitment to be there, back up your partner in this fantasy game, and see how far it gets. And we've seen character development within a few characters. You also get to realize what type of needs you might have within the group, so to better strengthen your party, and to have a more advantageous outcome. So that's it for sort of my summary of my main campaign. If you like more of me telling you a little bit more detailed stories of the main campaign, I sort of gave you a broad overview of what they've been through for the past 3.5 years or so, such as maybe a particular fight, maybe how the Lich fight went down, or how they were fighting other sort of high-powered magicians, mage wizards, or when they were fighting an ice dragon in the Shadowfell. Let me know. Maybe I'll talk about the other two campaigns I'm also running that are placed in the Midgard, the Kobold Press Midgard campaign setting. One other thing about my campaigns is I make them one open world and two connected. So there is another Forgotten Realms campaign I run that's alive, that's at a table, that's on hiatus since COVID had hit, that is tangentially connected with my online game that's currently been going on for 3 years. It's only, I think the table years are separated by a year or so, but I make them all connected. And so as my two Kobold Press Midgard campaign groups, they are connected. They are actually on two different sides of the continent, but it's based in the same year, same time, and different things are happening. And my players do affect the world that they play in. If they topple a government, or if they cause destruction in one area of the world, that has a rippling effect throughout the realm. And same goes for the Midgard campaign setting. Currently, one group is in a area that's called the Blood Empire, which is controlled by vampires and ghouls. If they so happen to topple that empire, it will change. It will ripple all throughout the Midgard world. So, with that being said, I'll draw this to a close.
If you want me to go more in detail on future campaign adventures that I have, please drop me a note at 360dnd@gmail.com or add me on Twitter. It's dnd360 on Twitter. And let me know what you think or your thoughts. And with that, I will see you in the next one. So, in wrapping up, I want to thank you all for joining me for another adventure, and I look forward to greeting you again soon. I want to send out a special thanks to Michael Gelfie and his music. You can find Michael Gelfie's music on YouTube at Michael Gelfie, or at his Patreon over at patreon.com/Michael Gelfie. That's spelled G-H-E-L-F-I. You can also find me on Twitter at DND360. That's DND360. Or send me an email at 360DND@gmail.com. This has been Terrell Shaw for the DND360 podcast, signing off. We'll be right back.